signed up for the program, not part of the program in general. Rabbi Leibowitz tends to bring in new faces, so we're happy to have you, or new screens at least. We're happy to have you, and we'd be happy to have you in the future. If you're interested in signing up, you can visit tinyurl.com/asicha register. You could fill out the classes you want to register for, or just ask to be notified about the general events, such as these and other more general events. This is really plugged into our regular bi-weekly programming. So it's a big schus, a big merit, as always, to have Rabbi Leibowitz. It's not a guest shir. That's a misnomer at this point. Rabbi Leibowitz is a part of the program. He's part of the vision of the program. He's part of the leadership of the program on a personal level, but also on a communal level for all of us at this point. Anyone who's been here for more than one semester knows that already. They've already been exposed to him, I don't know, three or four times from his shirim to the greater public and also to just our group on Monday night. So it's a real, real pleasure. Just because we're getting used to it doesn't mean we're getting over it. We're still into it. It's really exciting. We're really happy to have you. He's going to talk about a really, really exciting topic, magic mugs on Shabbos. I'll let him introduce. We'll start with a video, as long as we get the technical part going in a second. I'll just remind everyone, it seems like people are already up to date on this announcement, but no one's pressured, but everyone should feel free to turn on their videos. Your surroundings and every the situation you're in does make a difference, and we appreciate that, so we're not pushing. But it's helpful to you as a listener, it's helpful to the speaker to see faces as well, so feel free to put on your video if the setting allows. And I'll now turn it over to Rabbi Leibowitz, and Rabbi Leibowitz, you could tell us when to start that video too.
Okay, thank you so much, Rabbi Steinmetz. It's so great to be back with you and to share Torah again with you this evening. So Rabbi Steinmetz texted me and said, asked if I would be willing to give a shiur on something related to any topic within Kosev or Mochek. And I was thinking, what do I have in topics relating to Kosev and Mochek? And then really, maybe an hour or two later, I got a text from Rabbi Eli Storch with a video of a product. And he said, what about this on Shabbos? Are you allowed to use this on Shabbos? And I said, okay, I don't know if you're allowed to use it on Shabbos, but I know what I'm going to give a shiur about when I speak to Asicha seminars. So I asked Rabbi Steinmetz if he could maybe share the video. I don't know how to do that. He's much better at this kind of thing than I am. So if that's possible, that would be best.
So it should be sharing now. People should be seeing on the screen now.
Yeah, I see it. Okay, so you get the idea. That was what they call a magic mug. It seems like a... who can name the song? That seems like a magic mug. That is what they call a magic mug. It seems like a nice gift idea, a cute gift idea, that as soon as you pour hot water in it, it looks like a plain white mug, and then when you pour hot water in it, all of a sudden it reveals these pictures that were there the whole time. So the question was, Rabbi Storch asked me, can you use such a mug on Shabbos? Can you pour your hot coffee into such a mug on Shabbos? So there is, every time a new Shiloh comes up, you always have to ask yourself, is this really a new Shiloh, or have we dealt with the same exact Shiloh 1,000 times before? So the first thing that that came to mind is that there's something called, I think they're called photogray lenses, that people have glasses. When you're inside, the glasses are clear, and then you walk outside, and they're exposed to the sunlight, and they turn into sunglasses. And this was a big discussion back in the 1970s, when I guess these glasses first started becoming popular, whether you're allowed to use these glasses on Shabbos. There's a whole Torah journal called Kovetz Olas HaChodesh that was dedicated to dealing with photogray lenses back in the 1970s, and all of the Gedolei HaPoskim at the time had what to say about it. So that would be the most natural comparison, although there may be certain differences. Rabbi Teller even has a famous story about the photogray lenses. Apparently what happened was Rebbetzin Leah Auerbach, Alaha Shalom, the wife of Rav Israel Auerbach, whose doctor prescribed photogray glasses for her, and the doctor said, you should know, there's a machlokas haposkim, whether you're allowed to use them on Shabbos, or she went to the optometrist or whatever, that there's a machlokas haposkim whether you're allowed to use them on Shabbos, so you should really ask a shayla whether you could use them on Shabbos. So she told the doctor that she was a little stuck, because when she came back the next time, she said her father told her that she's not allowed to wear them on Shabbos. Her father was Rav Yashiv Zatzal, and her father-in-law told her that she may wear them on Shabbos, and her father-in-law was Rav Shlomo Zalman. So she was stuck, because her father told her one thing, and her father-in-law told her something else. And Rabbi Teller likes to tell the story that the fellow said to her, I told you to ask a rabbi, not to ask your parents, not realizing that her parents and her father and father-in-law were the two great Poskei Hadar, Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So this was a machlokas between them, and we'll have to discuss what the svaras were, but it's come up in so many products. I mean, it's a good shtick. Of course it's going to come up in so many products. A few years ago, there was a product, Crocs, the footwear company, Crocs, the things you wear on Tisha B'Av, came out, realized, I guess, that their popularity was waning. So they had to come up with a new shtick. So they came up with a shtick for little kids that when you go out into the sun, the color of your Crocs changes when you're in the sunlight, and as opposed to when you're indoors. Or, you've seen for little children, maybe, when you feed little kids, someone came up with the idea of using this same technology to be able to make sure that you're not feeding a child something that's going to burn their tongue. So they have these little spoons that if it touches something that's really hot, it changes color. So you'll realize that you're feeding a child something that might burn them. There used to be a commercial for, I think it was Coors Light. I don't remember which beer it was, but there was a beer commercial where they had a whole advertising campaign, a whole marketing campaign, that apparently was a big problem that people couldn't tell if their beers were cold or not. So the way that they solved this problem was that they made a can that changed colors when the beer was cold. I don't know why people couldn't tell if their beer was cold or not. Maybe they had a few too many already to be able to feel if their beer was cold or not, but apparently this was an issue, that people didn't know if their beer was cold, so when the Rocky Mountains turned blue on the can, the beer was cold. So the question became, if you have such beer bottles, Let's leave cans out of it for now. You have such beer bottles, can you put them in your refrigerator on Shabbos, because you know that you're going to be coloring the Rocky Mountains is Coors? I think so. I think it was the Rocky Mountains. I seem to remember that. So it must be Coors. So you're going to be coloring the beer bottle on Shabbos. And of course we have the magic mug. So it all seems to be the same basic shaila. So how does it work, first of all? It does seem quite magical. According to HowStuffWorks.com, which is an actual website, according to HowStuffWorks.com, they explain, at least when it comes to the lenses, that photochromatic lenses contain millions of molecules of silver chloride or silver halide embedded in them. These molecules are transparent to visible light in the absence of ultraviolet rays, which is normal for artificial lighting. But when exposed to ultraviolet rays, as in direct sunlight, the molecules undergo a chemical process that causes them to change shape and absorb portions of the visible light, causing the lenses to darken. And it's these same basic ideas that there's some sort of, on the magic mug, there's some sort of pigment powder which causes heat-sensitive color changing. The idea is that you're not actually coloring anything new on the lenses or on the mug. It's there the whole time, but it's activating the molecules, or it's activating the chemicals inside in order to appear in that way. So the question is, it seems that none of this could possibly be an Isser D'Oraisa. Because in general, for a malacha to be an Issa d'Oraisa, for a malacha of Kosev, Tzoveya, whatever the malacha might be in these different cases, and it's different in these different cases, meaning certainly for the glasses, it's not a matter of Kosev, it would be a matter of Tzoveya, that you're coloring the glasses. For the mug, it's not a matter of Tzoveya per se, it's not that you're coloring the mug, although they do make those mugs without pictures, that it just changes color, in which case the Shaila would be a Shaila of Tzoveya, but when drawing the picture is a Shaila of Kosev, right? If one draws a picture is worth 1,000 words, and it would be a Shaila of Kosev to have a picture drawn on the mug. So it would seem that when it comes to those types of malachos, the issue over here is not an issue on a d'oraisa level, it's an issue on a d'rabbanan level, because certainly these things are not permanent. Or at least what you are doing right now, the change that you are affecting right now, is not permanent. Meaning it could be that when you make the product, when you originally put those pictures onto the mug in the first place, the company that makes it, maybe that has some permanence, because even though it disappears, it's permanently there to be revealed, but each time you put hot water into the cup, you are not actually doing anything permanent. For example, the Mishnah Brura in Siman Shin Mem Sivkat and Chaf Beis writes that you shouldn't write on fogged up glass. Remember, as a kid on the school bus, when the glass would fog up, you'd write your name, and so you're not supposed to do that on Shabbos. You also shouldn't be on a school bus on Shabbos, but you're not supposed to write on fogged up glass on Shabbos. So it would seem writing in snow, for example, would be similar. Sometimes when there's a fresh coat of snow, people like to write things. I remember one time in DRS when Rabbi Kamenetsky had to suspend a kid for writing something obscene in the snow right in front of the building. There was a huge area lawn right in front of the building, and the kid just ran out. Everyone was watching. All the classrooms were watching. We were watching. Oh, what's he spelling? There were plenty of witnesses to the crime, so it didn't work out so well for the guy. But writing, if you were to do that on Shabbos, writing in the snow, it's not Shel Kayama. Hopefully the weather will warm up, although it doesn't look so promising right now, but hopefully the weather will warm up, the snow will melt, and where at least the wind will blow, and the writing is not going to remain. But nevertheless, that would probably be an Isser Midrabanan of Kosev. So our question for our case over here with the magic mug and with all of these similar such products is whether it's a violation of Kosev or Tzoveya, at least on a Drabanan level, because we observe Dinim Drabanan as well. And does it matter whether you're trying to make the change happen? In some cases, your interest is in the color, like the Crocs, but with the sunglasses, you don't really care about the color, you just want the protection from the sun. It's not about the color, unless some people maybe think it looks cool, that they enjoy having sunglasses, not because they really need the protection of the sun, but because it looks nice. But those people generally don't use the photo gray lenses. They're using those lenses because they actually want the protection from the sun, not because of the cool look of sunglasses. Does it make a difference if it just changes color or paints an actual picture? Meaning, is there a difference between the malacha of Tzoveya and the malacha of Kosev in this regard? So I think it's helpful to go back to what the poskim say. We're not going to go through the basics of the malacha of Kosev. I assume at some point that's covered, Rabbi Steinmetz covers things like that. So we're not going to go through the basics of the malacha of Kosev. We're going to skip right to the poskim and see what do the poskim say about these photogray lenses, and does that apply? Do all of their heterim apply to our case? Because even though we had that nice story of Rav Eliyashiv's daughter-in-law, Rav Eliyashiv's daughter, of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's daughter-in-law, about the machlokas between her father and her father-in-law, it really wasn't an even machlokas. Meaning, Rav Eliyashiv was very much a das yachid. The large majority of poskim held that those and hold that those glasses that changed into sunglasses are mutter to use on Shabbos. Rav Eliyashiv is a das yachid who is machmir. The thing is, among the poskim, there are like four or five different reasons that they hold that it's mutter. So we have to figure out, do all of those heterim carry over? Do they all work over here? So there is a tshuva in Igros Moshe. In Igros Moshe, Arachayim, Chela Gimel, Simen Mem, Hey, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the year Tufshin Lamed Beis, which is about 1972. So this was in the 70s. Rav Moshe wrote to Rav Nachman Yosef Tversky Shlita. I'm not sure which Tversky that is, but they're all related somehow or another. So he wrote to Rav Nachman Yosef Tversky, Hine, Bidvar Zuchuches Shel Mishkafayim, Shenikra Fotogar, these, whatever it's called, these lenses, Shenasu Ba'ofen Zeh, that they're made in such a way, D'Kishaholchem B'Shemesh, Heim Kamo Mishkafei Shemesh, that when you go in the sun, they're like sunglasses, U'Kishaholchem B'Tzel, Nasa B'Chazar, Meshach Regayim Bahir Kizuchuches, Regilo Shel Mishkafayim, that when you go in the shade, all of a sudden it turns back into regular glasses. Eini roa baze isur. Rav Moshe says, I don't see any isur. I don't see any isur. When a posek says, I don't see an isur, that's another way of saying mutter, right? Meaning we assume in Judaism that everything is mutter until it's proven usur. I have a friend who told me he used to advise guys on dates, if they want to learn more about the girl, they should ask her, in your life view, do you see everything as usur until proven mutter, or everything as mutter until proven usur? That's a bit of an odd question to ask on a date, but nevertheless, that's the correct answer is that everything is technically mutter until proven usur, meaning unless there's an isur, it is mutter. So Rav Moshe says, and that's if you know everything, of course, meaning if you just don't know anything, so then you do have to be a little more cautious. But Rav Moshe says, any rob is a isur. I don't see any isur. Lo mishum tzoveya, v'lo mishum sakin mana. It's not tzoveya, it's not tikkun mana. Why? Why not? The halonitzba klum. He said, you haven't really colored anything. What do you mean I haven't colored anything? The glasses were clear. Now the glasses are darkened. Midaba mara harishon b'chazara. Because it comes back. Since it shifts back and forth from sunglasses to regular and back and forth. So that's not called that you colored anything. V'chin chozer chalila kama pa'amin. Meaning, what's Rav Moshe saying? Is he saying that it's eina shel kayama? That it's just not lasting? Well, not lasting doesn't take away the isur. Not lasting knocks it down from a daraisa to a darabanan. So why does it help that it goes back and forth? No, it seems that what Rav Moshe is saying is that even if something that's temporary is an isur darabanan, something that goes back and forth constantly, that is meant to go back and forth constantly, would not even be an isur darabanan. Why would it not be an isur darabanan? So it seems what Rav Moshe is talking about is a principle that we have in a lot of places in Hilchos Shabbos, and that is the principle of derech tashmisho. That you have, I know Rabbi Ribiad in his Sefer on the 39 Melachos is a very big fan of this concept. He applies it in a lot of different places, but the basic concept of derech tashmisho, that it's the normal usage, the way the item is supposed to be used, cannot be a violation of a malacha, of a creative activity. For example, if I were to take a large piece of wood and stick it into my house in a way that it's attached really well, that you can't really shake it, it doesn't budge, and there's a peg that holds it in place on one side and screws that hold it in place on the other side, that would be a malacha daraisa of bona. Yet, when the door of my house is open, and I close the door and lock it, and now it's solidly in. Before, this door was not really in. It was only attached lightly on one side. And now I've solidly attached it on the other side as well to the house. Is that a malach of bona? When you open the door, is that a malach of soser? Certainly not. Why not? Derech tashmisho. That's the way the door is meant to be used, to be constantly opened and closed. So Rav Moshe writes that you have the same idea over here, that it's derech tashmisho. Would this heter apply to the mug? Can we say about this mug that it's derech tashmisho? It would seem yes, right? It would seem that such a heter would apply to the mug as well. That's the whole kunz, right? If it wasn't meant to go back and forth, then it wouldn't sell any. They wouldn't sell any mugs. Then it would just be the same old classic mugs that you always got for Father's Day or Mother's Day or whatever that had the kid's picture on it. The whole point over here is you don't have to look at the kid the whole time. Only when you put the hot water in the mug does the picture appear. A second heter that appears in Poskim is quoted in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Perek Yud Ches, footnote Ayin in the one of the versions of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, where he says that it's not Soveya because you're not doing anything. He says, like, you go out into the sun and you get a suntan. You take a long walk on a hot sunny day and you come back with a suntan. So is that soveya? How can you say it's soveya? And he says, v'gam ein letzeva hazeh kol kiyum. It doesn't even last. That's also the svara of the Be'er Moshe in Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss in Chelek Hay Siman Lamed Beis, and in Tshuvas Az Nidbaru Rabbi Binyamin Zilber was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. They say that the Chazon Ish used to refer to him as Binyamin HaTzadik because apparently he was a tzadik. So Rabbi Binyamin Zilber actually has a tshuva written to Rav David Cohn of Brooklyn, where Rav David Cohn apparently wrote to Rabbi Binyamin Zilber and he said in the title, he said, you know, lechvod harav sheyadua, that it's well known shekara alav hachazonish binyamin atzadik, that it's known that the chazonish called you binyamin atzadik. So Rav Zilber wrote back to Rav David Cohen and he said, there's a very important klal you have to know. People will quote things from the chazonish all the time and they misquote him and it's not right, and you can't believe the rumors that you hear that people say things in the chazonish. So I try not to be affected when people try to give me kavod or when people try to give me bizyonos. You're not supposed to be affected by these things, but I have to make a machal for the covenant of the Chazon Ish. But everyone knew. The Chazon Ish always called him Binyamin HaTzadik. That was like, it was a yadua. The whole world knew it, except for him, apparently. So Rabbi Binyamin Zilber and the Minchas Yitzchak and others say that, no, you shouldn't go out in the sun on Shabbos to get a suntan, because that's considered an action of Tzovei Midrabanan. But nevertheless, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, it's not really. You're not doing anything. It's just happening. You're walking normally, and then it happens. You're not doing an action that's really bringing it about. It's just a function of the environment that you're in. Can you say the same thing about these mugs? You're not doing an action that's bringing it about. I don't know. This seems like a much more direct action. You're taking hot water or hot coffee. You're pouring it in the mug. It seems like a much more direct action. I don't know that heter is going to work for us. A third potential heter. Rabbi Ribiat writes in his 39 Melachos that this is even less than something temporary, because it's not just that it's something temporary that's going to last for a short amount of time. It only lasts as long as it still remains exposed to the sun. Again, talking about the lenses. As soon as it's not exposed to the sun, it right away goes away. Meaning it needs the continuous presence of the sun to keep it going. So that's not even temporary. Temporary would be that you did something, you wrote in the snow, and then the writing is going to be there for a little while. But you don't need to be stepping in it in order for the writing to stay there. The writing will stay there after you walk away from it, just until it melts or until the wind blows more snow into the grooves that you just made by writing in it. But it doesn't rely on your continued presence. Over here, it relies on your continued presence. Is that the same as the mug? L'chora, yes, right? Meaning it's only so long as the hot, as soon as your coffee cools down, it disappears. The picture is going to disappear. It relies on that continued presence. And then there's a fourth kula that they have when it comes to these lenses, and that is the Gemara in Shabbos stuff. Well, let's put it there. There's a tshuva in Bitzel HaChachma, Rav Bitzel Stern. He was a rav in Australia. His brother was a rav in Borough Park, the Deborah Ziner rav, has a tshuva sefer called Be'er Moshe of Moshe Stern, and the other brother, Rav Bitzel Stern, was a rav in Australia, the Bitzel HaChachma. They were both originally from Hungary, from Ungvar, I believe. And no, Rav Menashe Klein is from Ungvar. I'm not sure where Rav Moshe Stern was from, but a Hungarian rav. And so Rav Bitzel Stern writes as follows. He says, you have to say that, he says, let's put it this way. There is a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Tes, that says that if a person is looking in a mirror on Shabbos, and the mirror has sharp edges, that's a problem because you're going to come to cut the stray hairs that you see sticking out with the sharp edges of the mirror. That in those days, I guess they would have they had multi-purpose mirrors. It wasn't just to look at your reflection, but you would also would have it had sharp edges so you can cut off whatever stray hairs were in the way. So the Gemara says, I'm concerned that you're going to look in the mirror and you're going to see a stray hair, so you're going to want to cut it off with the edge of the mirror. So that's Rabbi Sal Stern. Why are you allowed to look in the mirror at all on Shabbos? You stand, before you stand in front of the mirror is not showing anything. It just shows the wall behind you. Then you stand in front of the mirror, and there's this perfect image of a human being, right? There's this picture of this magnificent-looking human being every time you're in front of the mirror. So didn't you just draw a picture of a very realistic-looking human being? So how is that okay? Isn't that a violation of the Malacha of Kosev? So he says, of course not. Why is it not a violation of the Malacha of Kosev? He says, part of the definition of the Malacha of Kosev is that you have parchment and then you have ink. You have something and then you impose something else on top of it. And it gets embedded in, but there are two separate products, one on top of the other. But if something is built into the material and just based on the reality of the situation, based on the conditions that are the atmospheric conditions that are surrounding it, the material reacts, that's not called kosev, and that's not called tzoveya. It wouldn't be either one of those malachos. And this is the svara that Rav Avadya Yosef has as well in Shut Yechaveh Da'as, Chelek Beis Simen Mem Zayin, and it would seem, if that's the case, that the same would apply to our mug situation as well. So what's the svara to be machmir? So Rav Yashiv thought that since the glasses do not immediately revert back when you go indoors, so it might be considered like it has a slightly lasting effect, and therefore might be included in the Yisud Rabbanan, at least, of Tzoveya, and therefore Rav Yashiv told his daughter that he did not think that it was okay to have those glasses. Certainly, if you hold like Rav Yashiv, if it's not okay by the glasses, it's certainly not okay by the mug. The mug is worse than the glasses. It's also possible that maybe the Gedarim of Kosev and Tzoveya are not exactly the same. There is a Yerushalmi, for example. There's a Yerushalmi in the 12th parak of Shabbos, where it seems that somebody would be chayv mida oraisa for revealing an invisible message. The Yerushalmi talks about a case where one person writes on a parchment using some sort of gallnut solution, and the parchment and the gallnut solution are the same color, so you can't see it. And then another person comes and reveals the message by pouring a gallnut-free ink over the parchment, and that reveals the original message of the that the first person had written. So Yerushalmi seems to say that the second person is chayiv, that the second person has written, has violated kosev. So maybe you can say the same thing over here. Someone else has put this invisible picture into this mug, and you, by pouring hot water, have now revealed the ksiva. That's not really the same, because in the case of the Yerushalmi, once you've revealed it, it stays. So that would be a violation of Kosev. And it also was not meant to constantly go back and forth. So at the end of the day, now that we're drawing close to the close of our half hour, at the end of the day, may one use this mug on Shabbos or may one not use this mug on Shabbos? So certainly, according to Rav Yashiv, that you're not even allowed to use the glasses that change color, you're not allowed to use the mug either. But according to the large majority of poskim that hold that the glasses are okay, there's a lot of reason to suggest that this mug would be okay, unless your primary heter was that of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, was that of the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, that you're not doing any maisa. Because with this mug, you are doing a maisa. You are doing an action that you know is going to bring out the picture and your it's the direct maisa biyadayim. So is there room to be mekel? Yes, there certainly is room to be mekel. Is there a little more room to be machmir than there is by the glasses? Yes, a little more room to be machmir than there is by the glasses. So it would seem that there's room for a multiplicity of opinions on this issue, as there are with so many halachic issues. I thank you all so very much for coming and learning with me this evening. And now we hand it back to Rabbi Steinitz. Everyone should have continued atzlacha in this wonderful program.
coming. Thank you so much. I really was, as always, lucid, entertaining, interesting.